Hello everyone, we're getting ready to do our Friday broadcast with Walt Stickle. He should be here momentarily with us. I just got off the phone with him. We're going to talk about some interesting things today. I think you'll find it interesting. And especially after the devotional this morning, us talking about fables. How much of our life are we living in a fantasy world, unreality? That's the question I have. You know, quite a bit, I would say. Quite a bit. Well, welcome aboard, Walt. And I was just telling the people on Facebook we're going to be talking about some very interesting things today. I think they'll appreciate our open and honest talking about something that most people don't want to talk about. So it's good to see you. Well, Facebook, just bear with us. We're trying to get Walt on here. We should be here momentarily, hopefully. With Walt, get him on live here. Walt, can you hear me? Your mic is muted, I believe, Walt. Walt, can you hear me now? It's showing that your mic is muted, Walt. Can hear you now, very loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
So we're on live. Okay, we're on Facebook, and you know, just to let our Facebook audience know, I appreciate you joining us. But Walt and I were on a conversation earlier, and we were talking about how much of our lives we're living in unreality. We're living in like a fantasy world. There's so many things that we've been taught that just are not factual. I mean, you know, I mentioned Walt this morning on the devotional. I told him to do a little bit of study research on Ernst Zundel. I'm not going to get into that now, but Francis Macia, welcome aboard, Pastor. Good to see you. Welcome aboard, Angel, glad to have you back with us. But you know, Walt brought up something today. I'd like to have Walt go into a little bit. Walt brought this to my attention, and I wasn't aware of it, but I now am, that the Catholic Church is the largest church in the world with 1.3 billion, with a B, 1.3 billion baptized members worldwide. That was in 2019. And, you know, it's in all countries, huge in South America, Latin America, and all over the world. And it's 166 languages. You know, this is quite a history, you know, of the Roman Catholic Church. And now in the United States, almost across the board, they call the Catholic Church Christian. It's a part of the Christian religion. What are your thoughts on this, Walt?
Well, not only in the United States, the history books, the world, the secular world, considers Roman Catholicism Christian. It's not just the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you sent me a link the other day about that fellow going down the streets of, where was that, in Israel?
Yeah, and he was trying to proclaim the gospel. I want to greet Jay Michaels with us, Walt, from Germany. Walt, you want to say hi to Jay Michael?
Jay Michael. Hello, Michael.
I know you have a special place in your heart for Jay Michael, Walt, because he's from Germany. He came over here from Germany, you know, and Jay Michael, we've been talking about Ernst Zundel, you know, and it's amazing how much persecution Ernst Zundel had to go through his whole life because of his trying to be true to history. I want to thank Leighton Biswas from Bangladesh. Thank you for the encouragement, Leighton. I appreciate it. But you've had some extensive conversations with J. Michael Walt about his parents when they came over here and so on. And we also have another friend, Michael Orr. And you may not be aware of this, J. Michael, but Michael Orr's mother is from Germany. Isn't that right, Walt?
That's right. I believe she's 87 years old. She came over here when she around 20 years old, and Mike Orr, his mother is a German, it was kind of funny that when I asked Mike, I said, "Does she still have an accent?" And all Mike did is kind of laugh, you know, because I mean, she's a German, you know, yeah. She's German, you know, yeah.
I used to have a friend of mine that was from Germany. Her name was Erica Lavender. And, you know, she was very, very, you know, some people said she was brash, but she was just honest. She was very truthful. And if she heard someone spouting out a lot of false doctrine, you know, she would look at him and she'd say, "You're of your father, the devil." And German people have a history of, you know, and they've been so beat down over the years. They've been so beat down, and they, you know, and a lot of this has to do with the lies that's been perpetrated all these years, you know. And we talked about this morning on our devotional, you know, the fables. They've been turned into fables, you know. We could just itemize a lot of the fables that have happened. You know, I was telling Walt, I was listening to a gal this morning on a supposed Christian radio station, and she was saying, "We've got to stick with the Bible. If someone is purporting something that's not in the Bible," she said, we need to stand for the Bible. And her guest said, "That's right. We can agree on some things. We can agree that the world is round, a globe." And she said, "Yeah, we can agree that we all have a free will." Two things that are not in the Bible. They talk about upholding the Bible, Walt, but they come against the very teachings of the Bible.
Well, you know, I have to analyze myself and kind of judge myself, and I'll put it out to the world here because this is public. I watch a lot of videos of sailors, you know, couples that have circumvented the earth. And so why do I watch these? Why do I watch one that's called Itchy Boots? Right now she just came out of Morocco into a country that I can't pronounce. It starts with an M. But why do I watch these videos? I don't listen to her. I'm not listening to religion or politics. I want to see with my own eyes when she walks down through the streets, and when I go across Morocco, I want to see Morocco. And I've been following this one couple. This is the first couple on YouTube that I've seen that have went through the Suez Canal, like going towards the Mediterranean. Okay, I know some sailors that have sailed into the Mediterranean going by the entering from the Atlantic Ocean, but not from from out of like India, come around India and go through. So the reason I bring this up is they came through the Suez Canal, and I will say one thing. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to say one thing about going through the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal is 100 miles long. How does a canal work on a ball? That's all I'm going to say. Now, we know, like, when they go through the canal in the Panama Canal, they have to go up 65 feet. They have to go over a little rise, a mountain, you know, and they go up the canal and they put them in this lake, and then they go across this lake, and then they have to be put down another 65 feet to sea level. I find that very interesting. But the reason I when I was following this couple right now that are going through, they're in the Mediterranean. They went to Cyprus. So I wanted to know what kind of an influence of religion was on Cyprus. And there's five cathedrals. And then I looked it up on Wikipedia, and when I brought it up, it says that that Cyprus is 70% Christian. Well, so we know 70%. Well, then I did another search on Wikipedia, and there's five big cathedrals. These are huge cathedrals in Cyprus, on the island of Cyprus. And then I start poking around, and I come to him, and I sent this story. You know, and they have it where Catholicism is in the world, they have it painted red. They have it painted red, and you know, and I noticed that there wasn't any red in Russia. You know. Because that's one of the things that is not brought out in history is the Russians are Orthodox Christians. See, they made a split with Rome. So anyway, I don't want to go there, but what I really realized, somebody had told me years ago, Walt, you just got to get used to it, Walt. This is a Catholic world. Well, when I looked at that map, that whoever told me that is right. It's a Catholic world. I mean, and then that takes me to book one that I have up on, it's published up on, Lulu and Amazon and, you know, Walmart. I mean, it's called The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, book one, because I have a book two, and it's America's Modern Day Babylon. Now, how can you call it Babylon? How can you call, because this book is all about Roman Catholicism. In other words, it's not a book throwing darts, it's a book telling you where they, you know, let me just give you an example of what it's about. Here's the first paragraph of the book, and the first chapter is Babylon, sun worship, the source of all false religion. That's a pretty, you know, a broad statement. But the mystery, this is the first paragraph, the mystery religion of Babylon has been symbolically described in the last book of the Bible as a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet, color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was named, written, Mystery. And this, now this is Revelation 17, 1:6. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now this whole book is about Rome, and it covers transubstantiation. It covers how they covet relics, the popes. This is a short book, 160 pages of where Rome gets their doctrines. And in other words, and Rome, I'm just going to say this, you know, I have no apologies to say this, but Rome, and I also will say also that I'm not the only one that's called Rome, the Vatican, Babylon. I got to go to my website here. Excuse me for the interruption. But
while you're doing that, let me read a little blip here. I think this says that the Catholic, this is really interesting when I read this. The Catholic Church, with 1.3 billion baptized Catholics worldwide as of 2019, is among the world's oldest and largest international institution. The Pope, who is the Bishop of Rome, is the chief pastor of the Church. The Bishopric of the Rome, known as the Holy See, is the central governing authority of the Church. The administrative body of the Holy See, the Roman Curia, has its principal offices in Vatican City, a small enclave of the Italian city of Rome, of which the Pope is the head of the state. The core beliefs of Catholicism are found in the Nicene Creed. The Catholic Church teaches that it is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church founded by Jesus Christ in his Great Commission, that its bishops are the successors of Christ's apostles, and that the Pope is the successor to St. Peter, upon whom primacy was conferred by Jesus Christ. It maintains that it practices the original Christian faith taught by the apostles, preserving the faith infallibility through Scripture and sacred tradition, and so on. And then it goes on to talk about the seven sacraments. The Eucharist is the principal one, celebrating liturgically in the Mass. The Church teaches that through consecration by a priest, the sacrificial bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. The Virgin Mary is venerated at the perpetual Virgin Mother of God and Queen of Heaven. She is honored in dogmas and devotions. Catholic social teachings teaches all this other stuff. And then it says the Catholic Church has profoundly influenced Western philosophy, culture, art, music, science. Catholics live all over the world through missions, diaspora, and conversions. Since the 20th century, the majority have resided in the Southern Hemisphere, particularly due to secularization in Europe and increased persecution in the Middle East. The Catholic Church shared communion with Eastern Orthodox Church until the East-Western Schism in 1054. So that's just a brief little overview of the expansiveness of Rome, and also it talks about, on down through the history of it, it talks about the Great Reformation and how it came against Rome. And you know, the fact that there was a pushback in the Protestant Reformation, and out of the Protestant Reformation came the Counter-Reformation, which we know Ignatius Loyola and the Jesuits came against the Reformation, and also the Council of Trent was the driving force behind the Counter-Reformation in response to the Protestant movement. So, you know, the reason we're having this conversation today is that let's look where we're at now. Look where we're at now, not only in the United States, but all around the world, that the Catholic Church is universally accepted as a Christian organization. But they're the furthest thing from the teachings of the Bible. I'll flip it back over to you, Walt. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but...
Well, that was perfect, because I want to close with this move. What we're talking about here is Cardinal Gibbons lived at the same era that Abraham Lincoln. He was a bishop, and he was the Archdiocese of Maryland during the Civil War, and he wrote a book called Faith of Our Fathers. Now this is a quote. This is a quote in his book from a archdiocese. So this isn't Walt saying this. Quote, "The penetration of the religion of Babylon became so general and well known that Rome was called the New Babylon."
Mm.
And you know, and that end of quote. That was from Cardinal Gibbons. In course, Cardinal Gibbons was right. You know that he was alive at the same time, and it's very evident who assassinated President Lincoln. I mean, you can ask this. I'm just going to just add this in right now. If I ask him, you can ask a question. How many people were executed? How many people were executed for the assassination of President Lincoln? And, you know, there were four. There was four, and they were all Catholics. And when you go back to, I have another book up here on my book page called Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, authored by Thomas M. Harris, 1897. So I don't want to get into this, but I have two books up here on my book page. You'll see it. Go to my webpage at granddesignexposed.com and scroll all the way to the bottom, and you'll see a picture of the Pope Francis is the very bottom graphic, and there's a picture there of a snake curled around the dome of the Capitol with a Pope at the top. And so I superimposed another Pope, and I got Pope Francis at the very top, smiling, giving a good, nice smile. And this comes out of a book that was written in 1888, Washington in the Lap of Rome, 1888. So it was very evident, and this leads into another whole story. See, so in 1867, see, John Surratt, and his mother Mary, and Mary was executed for planning the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And Mary Surratt was the mother of John Surratt. John Surratt escaped. He went to Canada, and then he went to England, and he made his way, and guess where they found him? They found him at the Vatican. Now, I don't know what they're called, but there's a name. You know, the guards, the kind of a prehistorical uniform that the guards at the Vatican wear?
Yeah.
That's a Swiss guard. And they found him at the Vatican. They brought him back. Now, this is history. And they brought him back, and they tried him, and he got off of two hung juries, he slipped through the the fence, but in other words, for somebody to say that the papacy had nothing to do with the assassination of Kennedy or of Abraham Lincoln is just not true. They hung four people for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and I think it's very, and they even made a movie. They even made a movie, and if you know the real history, it's a good movie, except for the last, and I can't tell you the end of the movie. It was a movie made by Robert Redford, who was a director. And so to say that, and a lot of people, you know, I didn't know. The average, our children today, when they go through public schools, you won't find one. You won't even find probably a college student. You'd have to really do a lot of searching to find a college student that realizes that four people were executed for the assassination of Lincoln, and in the trial of John Surratt, you know. But anyway, that's
I wanted to just also read something I happened to run into on the Catholics' position on baptism, and I think a lot of the churches, even the Christian churches, has bought into this whole thing about baptism. I have nothing against baptism. It says repent and be baptized, every one of you, but a lot of people put too much emphasis on baptism and not enough on blood baptism. It says, as viewed by the Catholic Church, baptism is the first three sacraments of initiation as a Christian. It washes away all sins, both original and personal actual sins. It makes a person a member of the church. Now, you know what? Water doesn't wash away anything. And water does not make you... It does not make you a member of the church. There's only one thing that makes you a member of the church, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from all sin. And that's what his perfect sacrifice. He came to save his people from their sins, and that's what he did. He died on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. A lot of people, even in outside of the Catholic Church, put way too much emphasis on their baptism. Okay, to think it actually does something. It is merely a sign and seal that what Christ has already done. So I did want to point that out. And also, this whole thing about the sacraments of confirmation and also transubstantiation, where the wafer becomes the literal blood and body of Christ. Hebrews tells us that he entered once into the holy place and sat down. We don't need to offer up a cookie and turn that into Jesus every week. That work was completed at the cross. And this whole celebrating of the Eucharist is blasphemous as far as I'm concerned. And there's many other false teachings, penance. We don't have to, you know, in other words, there's no such thing as purgatory. Our sins are already forgiven. We don't have to go to purgatory. And there's so many other things. Luther came against the sale of indulgences. People were actually paying for their sins before they did their sins. That's why he wrote, that's why he posted the 95 Theses on Wittenberg. So, you know, this whole Catholic doctrine is just totally blasphemy, and it's of Antichrist. Pope Francis today positions himself as the head of the Christian Church. He's not the head of my Christian Church. He's not my head. And you know, he's the 266th Pope. Isn't that interesting? 266th Pope, and he's a Jesuit Pope. And he holds the ex officio office of Bishop of Rome and the sovereign of Vatican City. He was elected in 2013. He's been in there for quite a while. And so they have a Jesuit Pope in there now. And I adamantly oppose Pope Francis. I come against everything he stands for, including climate change and all the other stuff that he is trying to force down the throats of people. And he is bought into the World Economic Forum, and he's a globalist, you know, and I find it interesting, that term global. You know, we're not a globe. Anyway, I'll give it back to you, Walt. I just wanted to kind of fill in some gaps there for people that might not be understanding of the total blasphemy of Rome.
Well, and I want to say, I want to go back to Cardinal Gibbons's statement. The penetration of the religion of Babylon became so general and well known that Rome was called the New Babylon. I just want to, what is going on in the world today? You know, the beast is rising, and where is it coming from? And I, in the Bible, to say, to stick to the Bible, what does the Bible say in Revelation? What is Revelation? To go right now and try to define Babylon. But one of the definitions of Babylon is confusion. And do we see a lot of confusion in the world today? And I'm not going to mention some of this stuff because we are being censored. And I know the right things. If you say anything of what's really going on today, and I'll just say it started in 2020, you're liable to be censored. And so I'm not going to go there, but I want to say what it's a system that we're against. Who's running this world? It's the Jesuits. No, it's the Jews. No, it's Babylon. It's Babylon is rising. The beast is rising. And that's what's going on. The agendas, the agendas like climate change. The papacy has put out an encyclical on the climate change. I mean, they're all for this climate change. It's the new religion. It's science, that kind of takes me. I'd like to just mention Larry. Larry had a message this morning, and he talked on fables. Well, I can't think of a better definition of fables than 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Do we see that happening today? How about 2 Peter 1:16? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we make known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The science that they're teaching, today, is fables. It's like going through the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal is 100 miles long. How does a canal flow on a ball? I don't know. Tell me how it, why is it sea level? I think they had to dig out. I forget the right stats, but you see, the Suez Canal is kind of it's much different than the Panama Canal, because they have to go over 65 feet, because the sea level in the Pacific Ocean is the same as it is in the Gulf, and it's the same way in the canal, in the Suez Canal. And like I said, I find it very interesting. Maybe you know their name, Larry, but I can't think of this YouTuber seed, because I find myself getting my views by watching some of these YouTuber travelers, because I like to see what's happening on the street. See, and like the Suez Canal, I never thought as a kid, I never understood that they had to dig a canal and go 65 feet over a rise to get to the Pacific.
Getting back to your thoughts on fables, you know, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I mean, and we start with creation, and if we look at biblical cosmology, if we read the first chapter of Genesis, it's very clear that we're in a closed system. It's very clear that the firmament, the sun, the stars, the planets are inside the firmament. They're not outside the firmament. It's very clear that the earth is stationary. And, you know, I believe the earth is round, but I don't believe it's a globe. I believe it is a plane. And I don't believe that it's going through space at 66,000 miles an hour. Walt used to call me up and ask me if I was still dizzy. Okay. And so, the reason that we're bringing this up is that we have to discern what is truth. Where do we go to truth for? We go to the Word of God. And we don't believe in Darwinian evolutionary theory. We don't believe that we evolved over millions and millions of years. And no, I don't believe the gap theory either. I don't believe that from verses 1 through verses 2 of chapter 1 there was millions of years. I believe that the earth was created in 6 literal days. I believe the earth is around 6,000 years old. And you can say I'm stupid and ignorant all you want to. Now, one of the things that Walt wanted to bring out, and I will say this, I don't agree with Jim Brown on a lot of things, okay? He has a YouTube channel, but he does teach strongly on predestination election, and he also was instrumental, I think, in Walt wants to talk about, you know, why don't you just talk about Jim Brown's teaching on Babylon a little bit, Walt, and why it was so important to you.
Well, he also teaches, you know, predestination. He also preaches that God doesn't love everybody,
right?
And
right.
And he's hated. And if you're real popular, you know. But the one of the things, and he also, like, you know, we all know that Christmas is pagan, and so is Easter. We all know it. But Jim teaches it in such a way that it's part of what we see going on today. It hasn't went away. And he has, I believe, something like 92 sermons on Babylon. You know, you'll get to try to explain Babylon, to really understand Babylon, go to Jim Brown's his website, Jim Brown Truth and Grace Ministries will get you there, and he's got, you know, you'll get a real it'll take because it's all paganism. See, it's all paganism, and you know, there's so much into Christmas, and the biggest mover and shaker in the world, whether you're, and it doesn't matter what country you're in, you could be in a Buddhist country, and even in Japan, Christmas is celebrated. And
at one time, it was illegal to practice Christmas in the United States. Is that not correct?
All the way up until the 18th.
Yeah.
Yes, it was against the law to practice Christmas. You see, can you imagine the transformation and how the beast works? to understand how the beast works, you go to the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy Book 1. Book 1 is a you know after listening to Jim Brown, I go back to this book, and it's amazing that the author of this book, the original author, my book is revised. It's not, I don't claim to be the author of this book. But the only thing that I changed is every time the author mentioned paganism, I replaced it with sun worship. So I didn't change nothing because that's where all this whole system is, sun worship. And I have that up there, but it gives you a complete a look at the world when you see how ingrained Christmas, and who was the mover and shaker of it? It's Roman Catholicism.
It's right in the name, Christ Mass. That's correct. That's correct. Well, Walt, we've been going 41 minutes. Can you believe that? We've covered a lot of ground in a short order. I would encourage people, if you want copies of that book, actual paperback copies, you can go to lulu.com and just put in Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, and you can get both of those books in paperback form. And I haven't gone on there yet, Walt, and reduced the price. I need to go on there and bring the price down on those two books so they're more affordable for people. But I also want to encourage people that get while you're there, pick up the Book of Lies of Free Will.